Be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "Indeed, my chalice you will drink. But to sit at my right and my left, this is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Lent is about the transformation of our ambitions. When we pray and come closer to God, we start to seek what He seeks. Fasting, hunger for what He hungers, and almsgiving to put others' needs above our own. But it's really important to go from our worldly categories and starting points to God's. And so 2 days in a row, the Church makes emphatically this point of Jesus. Yesterday, remember what he said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." And today, after he announces his passion, and after the mother of the sons of Zebedee lamely comes up and totally just ignores the fact that he's about to die so that she would be able to secure for her sons the two choicest positions in his supposedly earthly messianic reign. Jesus uses this as a lesson, as a exercise of that very transition to which he calls each of us. "You do not know what you are asking," he said. Whether it was to the mother or to the sons or to all three, we don't know. But the very next question is to the two boys. "You do not know what you are asking." So often, we don't know really what we're seeking. When we turn to the Lord with a particular petition, we don't really know the larger context. But Jesus brings them immediately to the way that they would become great in his kingdom, the way that they would both sit one day on his right in his eternal kingdom. "Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" Jesus wants us to be ambitious to drink that chalice. Saints John and James replied, without even knowing what they were asking, "Yes, we can." And Jesus says, "Indeed, you will." But he asks us that same question, "Can you drink this chalice? Are you thirsty for what I'm about to drink?" And he wants us to give him a similar blank check, even if we don't know exactly what we're asking. To drink the chalice, Jesus means two things in context. First is the cup of suffering. It's exactly what Isaiah would prophesy in the Suffering Servant Psalms we will ponder during Holy Week. The cup of suffering. This is a cup that Jeremiah, as we see in the first reading, did not want to drink when the people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem were contriving a plot against him in order to catch him in a speech to be able to condemn him and destroy him. Jeremiah turned to God, "Hear me, O Lord, and listen to what my adversaries are saying." Then he appeals for help. It was totally incongruous to him that to be a prophet and to suffer would be coextensive. He thought that if one were doing God's will, that the whole rest of his life would be blessed. Blessed with a yellow brick road, blessed with gratitude, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. And one of those blessings was not suffering and death. But God helped Jeremiah to see that it was, and that God would bring great good out of Jeremiah's sufferings. Jeremiah was willing to drink the chalice that the Lord was extending, but he needed to know what that chalice is. One of the biggest contradictions that so many people experience in life is when they do good things for the Lord, if they don't have a clear focus on Jesus' cross and on the cross he gives us each day to follow him, then they'll be easily waylaid by the evil one. Because when suffering comes, not as a curse but as a caress, they begin to think that maybe they have done something or in the Lord's disfavor than favor. They'll cry out like the young Jeremiah, "How does this happen if I'm doing your will that I suffer?" So Jesus, to everyone who's had these questions, says, "Can you drink the chalice I'm about to drink?" So we have to, if we want to be a disciple of the Lord, we have to be prepared to suffer. We all know that, in general, that suffering's going to come in some way. But how do we accept it when it comes in a way that we were not expecting? When it comes through a superior? When it comes through a sister who used to be a best friend? When it comes through a family member? When it comes through being insulted by somebody, all we're doing is laying down our life to try to lift up? Are we ready to drink that chalice? Jesus constantly extends it to us, hoping that we will drink it in communion. The second means by which Jesus extends to us this chalice is what he tells us at the end of today's gospel passage. This ambition he wants us to have and the means to achieve it is by offering our life as a ransom and service for the salvation of others. Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Every day Jesus extends us to us that chalice to become truly great by serving those among whom he has placed us. He wants us to thirst, to satiate his thirst, that his love might come through us to those whom he sends us. It's not an easy chalice. Sometimes when we think about these two chalices extended, we'll say, okay, I'll bypass the first, the cup of real suffering, and then I'll assume the second one, the cup of service. But in some ways, it's much harder each day to become great by serving those around us, serving those the Lord sends us. Because it requires real persevering effort. It seems to be infinite, not finite. But the Lord who strengthened James and John to drink it will strengthen us. And each morning when we come to Mass, he seeks to do so. He gives us his body and his blood so that we might, through his filling our hunger and thirst for him, might become so immersed in his ambition that it'll overflow through us. And his ambition is to not lose one that the Father gave him. So today, this morning, the Lord asks us, what do you wish? And we ask for his chalice and the grace to be able to drink it to the dregs in this world so that we might join him with James and John, and we pray their mother at his right in the eternal banquet to lift this chalice of victory forever.